daf is Ksubas daf Mem Ches. We are holding on the very top of daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We're a few lines before the two dafs, right at the very top of the page. We're in the middle of discussing She'er Ksus and Ona, the three chiyuvim that a husband has toward his wife, Mida Oraisa. So what do these three things mean? And whether Mizonos is really a chiyuv Mida Rabbanon or a chiyuv Mida Oraisa, because we had mentioned toward the end of yesterday's daf that there were various takanos that Chazal made that a husband has to supply a wife with, or that a husband gets from a wife in exchange for that which he has to provide for a wife. So one of the things we said was that mizonos is tachas ma'ase yadeha, that he has to give her mizonos, and in exchange he gets ma'ase yadeha. Makes it sound like it's a din derabanan and not a din mida oraisa. So we're going to continue that discussion a little bit more shitos and tanaim, and come to some sort of conclusion with regard to she'er ksus and ona, and then the Gemara is going to move on to discuss about whether Beis Din is yored l'nechasav of a man, goes into a man's nechasim in order to support his wife or in order to do various things with his money in his absence, and different types of absence, it may make a difference why he's absent, where he went, whether he's dead or he's just out of town, when Beis Din would be yored l'nechasav. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the chiyuv of a husband to be kover is ishto, the chiyuv to bury his wife, and the comment that Rabbi Yudah, that afilu ani shabi Yisrael, even the poorest of the poor has to supply some bare minimum of a funeral service that everyone would be required to have. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of the page is going to talk about the transition, at what point the woman is considered to be no longer Bereshus Ha'av and completely Bereshus Ha'bal. And then the Gemara is going to talk about whether that Mesira from Reshus Ha'av to Reshus Ha'bal helps for Truma as well. Meaning, does that transition from Reshus Ha'av to Reshus Ha'bal, does it happen at the same time for all of the halachos, or there may be different stages where she's going to be considered Bereshus Ha'bal at different times? So, and that's pretty much what the rest of the daf is going to be about that transition from Reshus Ha'av to Reshus Ha'bal. So again, we were going through the various interpretations of the pasuk that speaks about She'er Ksus and Ona. So we're on the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer She'era Ksusa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says She'era Ksusa are not really two different things. It's not She'er and Ksus, but rather what it means to say is Lefum She'era Tein Ksusa. Based on her age, that's the kind of clothing that a husband is obligated to give her. Shelo yitein la lo shel yalda zakena, lo shel zakena liyalda. If she's a young woman, she shouldn't get old lady's clothing, and if she's an old woman, she shouldn't get young lady's clothing. That it's not just that a man has a chiyuv to give his wife clothing, but he has a chiyuv to give his wife the kind of clothing that's appropriate for her. Similarly, ksusa ve'onasa also means lefum onasa. Based on the time of years of year that it is, he has to give her clothing. Meaning, shelo yitein chadashim b'yimos hachama v'lo shchakim b'yimos hagashamim. It used to be the practice that they would wear brand new clothing in the winter time because new clothing was nice and thick and would protect them from the elements. And as the clothing wore out and became much thinner, as it wore out over time, they would use that was their summer clothing. They would wear that in the summertime. Not like the practice nowadays where it's just less clothing in the summertime. The clothing would just wear out in particularly hot climates. Less clothing doesn't work. People just get burnt. But if you wear something just loose fitting and something that's thinner, so that's more appropriate for the summertime. So that's he's supposed to provide her with the right kinds of clothing in the right times. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Sheir Ksusa from Sheir Ten Ksusa Pirush Rashbam, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Savernami Dimizonos Daraisa. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov also holds Mizonos is Daoraisa. Da'achi misni ha'sefer de'braisa, Mizonos minayin amrit kavachomer. The sefer of the braisa goes on to say, and how do we know that the husband has to provide Mizonos? Oh, we learn that from a kavachomer. Uma dvarim she'im ben kiyum nafshcha, kiyum nefesh. Kach dvarim she'esh ben kiyum nefesh, alachas kama v'kama. If things like clothing, which is not kiyum nefesh, it's not something that sustains a person, that keeps a person alive, he has an obligation to provide that which is kiyum nefesh, Mizonos, for sure he has an obligation to provide. So that too is Da'oraisa. It's just that when the Pasuk refers to these words in the Pasuk are about clothing, but once we know that he has to provide clothing, of course he has to provide Mizonos as well. Derech Eretz Minayin. How do we know what we call Ona? He also has to provide Derech Eretz. Sa'amr Kalvachomer. Umadvarm Shlonise Salem Lechadchila. Eino Rashi Limnoa Mimena. If things that you don't even think about when you get married is something that's going to be an advantage of marriage or something that's going to be a life change in marriage, clothing is something she had her whole life, and nevertheless he has to provide that for her. So Dvarim Shanise Salem Lechachila Eino Dinshe Eino Rashi Limnoa Mimena. Things that people get married for, that's what the Gemara refers to in Shabbos Lamed Gimel and in earlier in Ksuvis as well, Dav Ches, where it says Hakol Yodin Kala Lama Nichnas Lechupa. Everyone knows why a kala goes lechupa. Lekala Menavel Is Piv Yotzi Davar Megunim Piv. But we're not supposed to speak of such things. But the understanding is that that's the Kala Lama Nichnas Lechupa, that they could have that kind of relationship. So that's what it means. Nisei Salav Lechachila. They got married to be able to have to engage in that kind of relationship. So for sure he has to provide that. Ulfiza Tema Brisa Dil El the Katani Tiknu Mizonos Tachas Maisiada Dimashma de Mizonos Rabbanan Kimanasya. So Tosis points out the difficulty over here is that we had a Brisa that which started this whole conversation where we said Tiknu Mizonos Tachas Maisiada, that it's all the Mizonos is a takana midrabanan. Sounds like it's going like nobody, because over here everyone seems to be assuming that the Mizonos is the Araisa, and it's not the Rabbanan. That it's not the Rabbanan at all. So the Rambam writes that in general, including the Ksus, that he's chayiv to give her, it's also Klei Abayus. He also has to give her things that are household appliances. The Rambam writes in the 13th parak of Hilchas Ishus, Umadu Shia Shevisbo, a room to live in and to spend time in. And what are Klei Abayus? So he says, Mita Mutza'as, Mapat, a mat, a bed, Machselos LaShevisala, a chair to sit on, or a mat to sit on, Klei Achilu, Shtia, pots and pans and forks and knives and plates and all those things, and also he has to make sure that she has a house to live in. What's the definition of a house? The definition of a house, every single halacha, is always dalet amos al dalet amos. So minimally he has to provide her with that. She has to have a yard. She needs a base akise that he has to provide her with. V'chein mechayv mesabal losis l'tachshitim on big day tzavonim lakav al rosha padachta. He has to provide her with jewelry. He has to provide her the Rambam identifies different types of jewelry, and he says, but all this that I'm telling you is only if the man is an ani. But if the man is an ashir, well then he has to go, then it's hakalafi ashro. If he could afford more, and he could afford better, and he could afford maids, and he could afford this, so then he has to, and he could afford nicer jewelry, so then he has to give her nicer jewelry. So the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, Simenai and Gimel, ask when the Rambam says that he gives her mita mutza'as, that when it comes to a sidur balchov, we don't give the woman mita mutza'as, and he suggests that the husband gives her because that's something that a husband is obligated to give. Meaning, when it comes to, what does it mean? Sidur balchov means when you owe somebody money, so there are certain things that we're going to take away from you in order to confiscate from a person in order to pay back the people that you owe money to. But there are certain things that are considered basic life necessities that we're not going to take away from you, that a person needs. A person needs clothing on his back. A person needs certain necessities, and that's not listed as one of the necessities, the mita mutza'as. So why is it by the wife that when we say the husband has to provide her with the bare necessities for the ani, that is considered one of the bare necessities? So he suggests that the Baal gives because the woman is nitna lo l'chayim v'lo l'tzar, that a man has to provide for his wife more than the very ground level basic necessities. It has to be something that she could live somewhat comfortably. What if the guy doesn't have, he doesn't even have, he's such an ani, he doesn't even have the ability to provide her with that? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, Kofanos Olagarsha, he has to divorce her, and the Ksuba becomes a chov that over the course of time he's going to have to try to pay off, and when he earns enough money he's going to have to pay that off. The Rama quotes Rabbi Matamu, holds that no, we're not kofa to be Megarish Ishto if he doesn't have food. It's a struggle. No, people struggle, and that's they're assumed to struggle together. That's what she committed to when she married him, is that if they have to struggle, Nebuch, they'll struggle together. That's Machlokas Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, Vaitu the Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef, She'era Zukir of Basar, Shalo Yinag Ba'minik Parsim, Shem Sham Shemitel Sein Bilvushehen. That She'era is a reference to Kir of Basar, that they shouldn't act like the Parsim Farsiim who do Tashma Shamita with their clothing on. Misayel Rafuna, Dam Rafuna, Omer Yefshi Ella Aniba Bigdi, Vihibi Bigda, Yotzi Vinosin Ksuba. If the man has some sort of issue with Tashma Shamita, where he says, I can only do this if I'm clothed and she's clothed, so then we force him to divorce her and he has to pay her Ksuba. The Ritva writes, even if he's doing this because he's such a chassid and he's such a tsunua and he wants to, you know, he's such a level of kedusha, and also the woman, if she's that's considered more redis mitashmish, that's not considered derechiba. Tashmish is not just tashmish, but it should be a loving kind of relationship, and that's considered that she's more redis mitashmish if she doesn't agree. Magen Avraham and Simon Reish Mem says that if they're both merutzalazet, if they're both comfortable with that, then it's derech tznius, and he quotes that from Tosus and Nida in the name of a medrash that Kodesh Baruch Hu is sonei hamashamish mitaso arum. So maybe there's an indication that it's a maila b'derech hatznius. But the Mishabura says that that's only arum mamish, because a person that medrash is taken out of context. It doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want someone to be mashamish mitaseim arum. It means that that's talking arum mamish without a cover or anything. But that their bodies should be arum. That's the appropriate way to be mashamish mita, as we see in our Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilu Ani Shavis Fala. Then at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, no matter how poor a person is, the bare minimum that he has to provide for his wife's levaya is lo yifchos mishnei chalilin u'makonenes, that he has to have at least two flutes playing, and he has to have one person wailing, who's hired to wail and to cry at the funeral. So no matter how poor he is, that much he has to provide for. So says Gemara, mechal de Tanakama savar hani lo. Sounds like Tanakama holds you don't even need to do that. Well, hey chidami, what's the case exactly? Idu urcha, if that's the standard, then my time at Tanakama, why wouldn't he need to do that? Damar my time at Tanakama, damar lo. Vidalav urcha, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. And if it's something that's beyond the standard, beyond the basic standard, well then why does Rabbi Yehuda think, no matter how poor he is, that he has to provide that? Answer the Gemara, lo tzricha, kigon do urche didei, velav urche dida. It's normal for people in his family, but it's not normal for people in her family. So Tanakamer savuki aminon oli imo ve'eni yeredes imo. When we say that if she marries someone who's in a higher social station in life than she is, that she rises to his level of spending money, that's only hani mili mechayim. That's only when she's alive. But after she dies, she's no longer going to be. She no longer can expect the standards that he's accustomed to. She goes back to her own family standards. But Rabbi Yehuda savra afilu la'achar misa. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. Even la'achar misa, she can expect to live by his standards and not by her standards. And therefore, even if he's an ani shavi Yisrael, but if his family standards are that high that it's mekonenes and shnei chalilin, even if that's not her family standards, so he's obligated to provide her with a funeral that meets his family standards, even though he may not be able to afford it at the moment. Now, if you look at Tosos raises a very simple question. If it's all about his standards versus her standards, and that's the whole discussion over here, so why are we making it such a clear amount? Shnei chalilin, mekonenes, you know, one person in mekone, two chalilin. It's not about any specific number. It's about yoreli mo. It's about going to rising to his standards or to her standards. So Tosos writes, dorche didav lavor dorche didav lavor chididav pirush mekonchus dorche bibnos mishpachta avle in derech bibnos mishpachta, that it's normal for his family but not for her family. V'kasha ta maynak at shnei chalilin mekonenes achas havel min kad lo yivchas. It should have said much more pashut. It should have said and much more clearly that he can't give her any less than what he's used to, than what his family is used to. Why does it say specific requirements? So Tosfos explains, Vamar Rabbeinu Tam, du'urche didei hainu, afilu lani shavisol in poksim mishnei chalil mekonenes, that when it comes to men, the funeral for men is assumed to be a higher baseline standard than that for women. So when we're giving these items, we're saying that's Orche Didei. That's the baseline standard for even the Anisha of Yisrael. Avalin Akevos, Yesha Pochsid. But there are some people that do less than that for women. So we're what he's saying is, even if she were a single girl, it could be that we'd give her less than this, but since she's not a single girl, Kivan Dinises, Lo Yivkos Lakamosha in Poksin Lo, we can't do any less for her than we would do for him. And for him, that would be the minimum. But Tosfos acknowledges this is a little bit dachuk, because the lashon of the Gemara is that it's orchei didei that we're talking b'chiyai gavna, that it happens to be the normal standard for him, which makes it sound like there are those that don't have this normal standard. Meaning, about the way Rabbeinu Tam is saying it is that's the normal standard for everybody. So it's a little bit difficult to understand Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, or to fit Shitas Rabbeinu Tam into the Lashon. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah answers the Tosfos Kasha. The Mishnah is not talking about a husband whose family minog is kavua with all the details. We're talking about a woman who, in her family, they don't hire for a hasbid, and the derech of the mishpach of the husband is to be maspid their dead. But their minog is not kavua in the tsura of the hasbid, exactly what they require at the hasbid. So as Rabbi Yehuda is moda, that minog mishpachas abal, for the husband's minog, you have to be maspid the woman as well, but you don't need more than the pachosh of Yisrael. You don't need to provide her with more. If her family minog is not to have a hasbid, his family minog is to, yes, have a hasbid, but there's no set minog as to what to do, who to hire for that hasbid, so then you could go with the baseline standard. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands our Gemara. The Ritva suggests that Rabbi Yehuda holds that since b'nei mishpachta don't do this, it's enough to be ole imalach hermisa, in that she'll get the bare minimum, even though his family standard may be higher than that. That's enough, that she's ole imo, to at least get the hasbid, at least that much she'll be able to get. We pass on Rabbi Yehuda that this is what he's expected to provide for her. If a man goes out of his mind, he becomes deranged, based in Yordan Lilchasov, based in goes to his estate, and Vizanin, Mufanis, and his Ishto, they have to provide Mizonos, they have to provide support for his wife, Ubanov, Ubnosov, and they have to support his sons and his daughters using his money. They take care of his family using his money, because he's no longer capable of monitoring his own estate. V'davaracher, and also davaracher, they also use his money to provide davaracher. So the Gemara is going to explain soon a machlokas what exactly that means, what this money is being used for davaracher. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. So Ravina asks Ravashi, wait a second, Maishna mehadutanya, what's the difference between this and the Braisa? Misha alechol medina seyam v'ishto tova'as mezonos. Let's say a man didn't go crazy. He went to medina seyam. He went on a trip, and his wife says, I'm hungry. So Bezin yardin l'nechasav, Bezin again goes to his estate, v'zaninu mefarnasin es ishto, and they take mezonos, and they take parnasa for his wife. Avalo banavu benosav, but they do not take away from him to provide for banavu benosav, to provide for his children, v'lo davaracher, nor for davaracher. So isn't it a stira? When it comes to the man who went out of his mind, we go and we use his money to provide not only for his wife, but his children and davaracher. When it comes to a man who just went away, who went on a trip somewhere, so then we provide for his wife, but not for banavu benosav and not for davaracher. So, no, the answer is obvious. There's a big difference between someone who's going on a trip because he intends to go, and he specifically didn't take care of his children before he left, potentially because he's not interested in taking care of his children. Whereas someone who went out of his mind, we could assume that he wasn't planning on doing that. That was shalola das, and therefore he probably would have preferred to have taken care of his children. So if he goes b'kavanul chachila, and as opposed to a guy becoming a shota, so they're very different. They're very different cases. The fact that he didn't make any arrangements whatsoever before taking his trip is megala das, that he's not interested in providing, so we're not going to provide either. But his wife, he has to provide anyway, because that's a chiyuv gamur that a man has to provide for his wife. That's what he signed on to in the ksuba, and is nechasma meshuba to that until he fulfills the full chov of what he has to provide her with. So that's why we're gonna take from his estate while he's gone. The So frankly, Gemara Vayter, my Davar Acher, what exactly does Davar Acher mean? Meaning, what's this Davar Acher that we're talking about that it will make a difference whether he left on purpose or whether he became deranged? Rav Chista Amar Zet Tachshit. Rav Chista said it's referring to a certain type of ornament or jewelry that a woman would wear, or perfume that a woman would wear. Tachshit Rashi says, B'sam Shal Av Kasroch L'Shal Nashim Eskashitos Behem, that the way they had perfume in those days, not the way we have perfume. It wasn't condensed into a liquid form where they would spray it and then it's gone. The perfume was a necklace of spices. It was something of different spices that were put together where you could take it off and put it back on. So that's what he has to provide. He has to provide her with the perfume that would make her smell nice. Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah. Rav Yosef says, no, it's about Tzedakah. His estate is there. He's got all this money. Normally, we're kofin al Tzedakah. We would force a guy to give Tzedakah. He's not around, so can we go to his estate to take Tzedakah from him? So that's the discussion. So we say that if he becomes a shota, we can even be yored l'nechasav for tzedakah. So mandi amar tachshit, the one that says you could do so for tachshit, kol shkin l'tzedakah, would say for sure that you could do so for tzedakah. Mandi amar tzedakah, aval tachshit yavin. I'm sorry, the one that says that we don't go to his estate to take tachshit when he's away, when he went to Medina Siam, would for sure say we cannot go to his estate to take tzedakah. That we're for sure not allowed to do. But mandi amar tzedakah, the one that says that we can't take tzedakah from his estate when he's out of town, aval tachshit yavinala delanichal editinavel. When he's out of town, we still would give a tachshit. That opinion would hold that that's considered some of the what he's obligated to provide for his wife and what he would want to provide for his wife. We have to read his mind while he's gone, what he would be interested in his wife having, so we assume that he would want her to have tachshit. As Rashi explains, even though this is not a chov gamur and it's not something that he said when he left, Avdin, and we still do it. Then Rashi says, but maybe we're going on the other half of the statement. We're going on the case where the guy went crazy, where we said that we do provide these things, and the girsa should be the following: that mandi amar tzedakah kol shkein tachshit. That if you do provide tzedakah, then for sure we provide tachshit. Mandi amar tachshit avot tzedakah lo hasamayim time lo nichle ditinavel. But if he says tachshit, then for sure. But if you say that we would provide a tachshit while when he goes crazy, when he becomes a shota, but we would not provide tzedakah because the reason we're providing tachshit is we assume that that's what he would really want. What's the advantage of that girsa where we flip everything around? The advantage is that, or the disadvantage with our girsa, is that we're taking something that he's not absolutely obligated in, and he never made arrangements to pay for, and he could have made arrangements, he didn't go crazy, and we're saying that we're going to take that out of his estate. The very reason that we don't take for banav ubanosav, for the mizonos of his children, when he goes out of town, is because if he didn't make arrangements, we assume that he's megalad das, that he doesn't want it. So it's difficult to say if he didn't make arrangements for his wife to have tachshit, that we're going to say that he really wants that. How do you say he really wants that? He's sane, he's conscious, he had the ability to make arrangements for that, and he didn't. So that's why Rashi prefers the other girsa, where we're saying no. Or when we're saying lo nichle de tinavel, we're talking about a case where he became a shota. That's where we assume that he would want his wife to have a tachshit. Now, it's an interesting discussion. It actually relates to the beginning of Pesachim a little bit, that we're going to take tzedakah from him when he's gone. This relates to the sugya of nichle linish l'kiyume mitzvah b'mamonei. The Gemara discussed at the very beginning of Pesachim, what if a person was supposed to do b'dikas chametz and he didn't do b'dikas chametz? Can we use his money to do b'dikas chametz on his property? Can we take money from him and to do b'dikas chametz? And the halacha is, the Gemara says, that we assume, just like nichle linish l'kiyume mitzvah b'gufei, that a person is always happy to do a mitzvah with his body, nichle and shkumi mitzvah b'mamone as well. Shulchan Aruch and Archaim Simin Yudal paskins that if, let's say, you come to shul and you realize you left your talis at home, you don't have a talis, and the shul doesn't have any talis, but your friend's talis is sitting right there, so are you allowed to borrow your friend's talis? So Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter, as long as you fold it up. If you found it folded, you should fold it back close to the way it was as you possibly can. The Rama says, and hu adin by tefillin, but you're not allowed to use someone else's svarim shalom midaito, because there's a concern that the svarim are going to get torn, that the svarim are going to rip, and people are more makbid about svarim. So it's a lot of dafka about talis and tefillin versus svarim. Probably nowadays people are more makbid about their tefillin than they are about their svarim in terms of other people using it. It's really about what we can assume normal people would be makbid about. And the Shabur explains Sivkot Yud Gimel, the reason you're allowed to take someone else's talis is because nichle le'inish lavin mitzvah. Money. People want other people doing mitzvahs with their mama, and they're happy to do that. That doesn't mean that you could say, oh, so I don't have to buy myself a talis and tefillin, I'll just come into shul and use this other fellow's talis and tefillin. No, he didn't buy it to share it with you. He bought it that if you're in a pinch and you need it, so then he'll be happy to do it. But it should only be by a krayv, Mishabura says, not bedarach keva. That, and also, he says, not to ever take it out of the shul. You have to leave it exactly where it is, because it could be that someone's makbid about that. That could be gezel. And then Mishabur quotes from Prima Gadim that b'chol gavni, you have to be careful that if the guy is there to ask first. It's only with the whole question of chazakos and what a person would prefer is only if he's not there. But if he's there, then certainly you have to ask. So there's a whole discussion in the Achronim when we assume nichle linish kum mitzvah money. The Rambam in Hilchos Nachlos writes that if someone becomes a shota, we give tzedakah for him on his behalf from his nechassim, based on our Gemara, right? That our Gemara says davar acher, and there's an opinion that says that it's tzedakah. That's because nichle l'mavet tzedakah b'mamoneh. That's how the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam. Some sofer in a tshuva has a great difficulty with this, though. It is very difficult to understand. Meaning nichle linish, so we're actually going to take money away from someone. Shalomi daito. How do we find a hetter for such a thing? Isn't that gezel? Meaning isn't it yatzah scharo b'hefseido over here? That we're running a risk of gezel if we take money away from someone, without permission. So it's a difficult thing to understand. Chassam Sofer says that the Kesef Mishnah was medactic. He didn't say nichle lav mitzvah. He said litavit tzedaka dafka, that the din tzedaka is different than other mitzvahs. And he says that the chiluk is that by other mitzvahs there are tzaddikim that are magielam kamaisa rishon b'olam hazeh, whereas tzedaka tatzil maves mimisa atzma. Tzedaka will say that there are zuchiyos of other mitzvahs. We don't know. We don't know if people are interested in those zuchiyos or if people really would sign on for those zuchiyos. But tzedaka, because it's tatzel mimavas, so that's something, and that's the only one where we've pointed out many times. It's the only mitzvah where you're allowed to give with a specific for the sake of bavur, that this that there should be a bracha on this, or that yichya bini, or that the Gemara says someone who gives homer sells tzedakah al menashe yichya bini harez tzadik gamur. Someone says that I'm giving tzedakah just so that yichya bini is a tzadik gamur. We don't find that by other mitzvahs. It's only by tzedakah. So Rav Soloveitchik was makbid in the shul where they make a mishaberach. So some that they give the option. Sometimes you could just say bavur sheyispalel sheyivarech. So he was makbid that whenever they make a mishaberach, to always give something, because you can't make your any other mitzvah of tefillah or of giving other people brachas hinge on something that you're hoping for, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give brachas. You can only do that with tzedakah. So it doesn't say how much you have to, but he thought that you always have to give. That's why Rav Shechter was here in the Imeni Mishaberach. I think he was menadev money, so he said menadev tzedakah. I think at some point I don't think he said to the shul, he said tzedakah, but where should you think tzedakah b'avuran, because he's not for like that, like Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav Amar Rav Huna. Mishal chum Medina Siyam umesi ishto. Someone who goes to Medina Siyam and his wife dies, based in Yordan l'chasav, v'kovern oso l'fi kvodo. So based in is Yordan l'chasav, and they bury her l'fi kvodo. L'fi kvodo v'lo l'fi kvoda. Does that mean we bury her l'fi kvodo, but not based on her kavod, not based on what she's accustomed to? So that's more ema af l'fi kvodo. Now what it means to say is, af l'fi kvodo, that even l'fi kvodo, if his standard is a higher standard than hers. So, hakam ashmolan, ole imo vein yeredes imo, v'afil l'achar misa. And that's what it's telling us, that she's ole imo, but she's not yeredes imo, even the achar misa. She rises to his social standing and does not go down if he has a lower social standing than her. Amar of Mas Haomer im Mesa lo tikburua min chasav. If a guy says that if she dies, I don't want my money to pay for her burial, shomen lo, then we listen to him. Maishnok Yamar de Nafli Nixi Kame Yasme Kilom Nami Nixi Kame Yasme Ramu. Aren't we talking about the guy is dying over here, and on his deathbed he knows he's dying before his wife dies, so he's saying, I'm dying first, so I want to make sure that my estate goes to my children. I don't want it to pay for my wife's funeral. So even if he doesn't say that, the money goes to the Yisomim, and she's going to get her ksuba, and therefore there's no longer an obligation for his estate to pay for her funeral. So why does he have to say it? He doesn't even have to say it. Why? It's lo na'im to say such a thing. Don't say it. That will happen by itself. The money will go to the Yisomim, the ksuba will go to the wife, and that's it. And then there's not going to be any more obligation for his money to pay for her funeral. So that can't be what it's telling us. Ella ha'omer imeis hu lo tikburu minichasav. Now the guy might be saying, I want my children to have as much money as possible. I don't care about my kavura. I'll be dead by then, so it doesn't matter about my kavura. So when I die, the man says, I don't want my money to pay for my own burial. So ain't shomla. We don't listen to him when he says something like that. Lav kolimenu sheyashir zbana viyapalatzma alatzibur, because we have to provide for basic funeral arrangements. A guy doesn't have the right to be mashir his children, to make his children wealthy, so, and at the expense of the community, and to make the community, now the community is obligated to pay for these kinds of things, to make mitzvah when the person doesn't have enough money. But if the person has enough money, that's his responsibility to pay for it. It's always a difficult thing when you have people who have certain responsibilities, but they absolutely refuse to pay it for their own children, let's say. We've had shaila sometimes with tuition, where you have a parent who has plenty of money, but they absolutely refuse to pay the tuition. These tuitions are ridiculous. So it can be matel out in the tzibur, in the scholarship fund, that the whole tzibur is going to pay for the kids. It's not the kid's fault, but it's the parent's fault. So it's a terrible thing for a parent to do, that if you have the ability to pay for something that's your obligation, then you got to pay for that which is your obligation. Now, there is a discussion that Tashbetz has, the chiyuv of a man to pay for his wife's kvura. So is that only a one-time thing, or is that even if she has to be buried twice? So what does it mean she has to be buried twice? So Tashbetz has a shayla that someone who buried his wife, kedinu ka'alacha, and then some vandals came, so they took her out of a kever, and they shitua aruma, so does he have to take a bai tachrichin again, a second time, and pay for a kvura a second time? So Tashbetz writes, the chiyuv kvura that he has is only one time, but he says we learn it from the chiyuv of a shvuya. He's chayv to be poder, that if she's nishfes a second time and he wants to divorce her, we're going to learn he's allowed to divorce her and give her the ksuba money and let her be poder herself. He says hu adin v'hu atam when it comes to burial, that it's only the first time and not the second time. But the Tashbetz says, he says ein nirakin, because that's not something that's mutalis on her krovim more than other people, since they don't yarshin her. But over here he thinks that it should be. He says even though I hear that svara, the shoel suggested such a svara, he thinks that he should have to pay even a second time. That there's no other way. He's still the one that's chiefly responsible, and there's no other way that it's going to happen. Okay, now the Mishnah switches gears, and we discuss now at what stage she's considered to move from Rishos HaBal, from Rishos HaAv rather, to Rishos HaBal. So says the Mishnah, Li'olam hi b'Rishos HaAv, she always remains in the Rishos HaAv, until she enters Rishos HaBal for proper nisuin. That's the halacha. Masra av l'shluchei habal, if the father gives her over to the shluchim of the baal, harei b'rishos habal, so then she's considered to be in the rishos of the baal. Now certainly, if the father delivers her to the baal himself, then where the baal is going to escort her, not just to the shluchei habal, that certainly would be sufficient, would be considered that she's now in the rishos habal. So halacha av im shluchei habal, if the father goes together with the shluchei habal, o shahalchu shluchei av im shluchei habal, or the shluchim of the father go together with the shluchei habal, harei b'rishos av, then she's still considered to be b'rishos av, because until she's let go of, until the father or his shluchim let go of her, take leave of her, she's still considered b'rishos av. Masru shluchei av l'shluchei habal, if the shluchei av have handed her over to the shluchei habal, harei hi b'rishos habal, then she's considered to to be in the Rishus HaBaal. Now, why is it the Hafla raises the question? The Mishnah talks about Shluchei HaBaal, Lashon Rabim. Why doesn't it say Lashon Yachid, Shliach HaBaal? So he says, because since Sein Dover Shaviyav Rapach Mishnayim, and Lahalach we pass on Shliach Nasa Eid, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, so if you make Shnei Shluchin to be Mekadish and Isha, and they go in a Mekadisher, so the Shluchim could be Eidei Kiddushin, you don't need to be Mekadisher B'fnei Shnayim Acherim. So it turns out those Shluchim are the Eidei HaShlichus as well. So that's why the Mishnah says B'lashon Rabim, that they're not only serving as the Shluchim, they're also serving as the Eidim of the Shluchim. If it was a Shliach Echad, so then even if he made the Shliach in front of Eidim, and the father would give her to the Shliach in front of Eidim, it's, would it still only be a Chatzi Davar. The Torah says, Alpi Shnei Eidim, Alpi Shlosh Eidim Yakum Davar. And the Gemara learns, Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. So it's Davka got to be multiple Shluchim, because those multiple Shluchim will serve as the Eidim. But frankly, Gemara, the first word in the Mishnah is a little troubling. My Li Olam, that she's always Birshus Ha'av. What is the Lashon of Li Olam? The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah explained that the Gemara's question is, what are we adding when we say Li Olam? Of course, what would have been lost had we just said that she's Birshus Ha'av until the father gives it over to Birshus Ha'av? Of course it's Li Olam until he gives it over. Could have just said, B'Peshitas Kolz Man Shelo Nichlas Elochopa, Harei Birshus Ha'av. That would have been a much more direct way of saying it. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is trying to teach me a Chiddush. La Afuke Mi Mishnah Rishona. It's trying to tell me not like the Mishnah Rishona had. The Tanani, Giazman Vlonisu, Ochlus Mishlov Ochlus Petruma. The Mishnah Rishona held that even if you don't actually give her over, it's just the Zman where he had promised her that they would have Nisuin has arrived. The Zman where they were supposed to have Nisuin has arrived. She can already eat Truma from him, even though she's a Bas Yisrael marrying a Kohen. So she's already considered Bershus HaBal, Legabe Achilas Truma, even if Nisuin didn't happen yet, just on the promise of Nisuin, just on the expectation of Nisuin. That's what the Mishnah Rishona held. So Kamash Mil and the Olam, that's what our Mishnah is coming to say. No, she's Li Olam Bershus HaAv until she's actually Bereshus Habal. So that's the Li Olam. Masra Av L'Shulchei Habal, Harehi Bereshus Habal. So we said that once the father gives her over to the Shulchei Habal, she's considered to be Bereshus Habal. Omer Rav Misirasa L'Kol Chutz Mitruma. Giving her over to the Shluchim works for everything except for Truma. When it comes to Truma, you need more than just a Mesira to the Shliach. When it comes to Truma, you need him to have actually been with her. You need him to have a Nichnas L'Chupa. It's not enough that you just have a Mesira to the Shliach. Rashi explains, because the Svara is by Truma that we're always concerned that he's going to find a mum and he's going to try to claim Mekach Tolos and cancel the marriage until he's been with her once. Mishum Simfon, we assume that he'll find some sort of mum, and we're always choshesh until he knows better. Whereas Ravasi Amar Afla Truma, Ravasi says no, it works even for Truma. Giving her to the Shluchei Habal suffices even for Truma. I shouldn't we be concerned that he's going to find a mum and that's going to be an issue? So Rashi explains Kasavar Hadam Rabban Narusa Lotochal B'Truma. He's of the opinion, Ravasi is of the opinion, that the reason an Narusa does not eat Truma is not because he might find a mum and he's going to come with a taina. No, Mishum Shemi Yimzugula Kos Bebeis Aviyah V'Tishka L'Achio L'Achioseha. Now the concern is that we're afraid that if he gives her Truma while she's an Arusa, she's still living in her father's house. She might share that truma with her siblings. They're not allowed to eat truma. Zar shachol truma schayv misa. So that's why we don't give an arusa truma. Now, as long as she's been given over to the shluchei habal, she no longer has access to her siblings. She's no longer living with her siblings. So you no longer have that concern. That's Rav Asi's shita. Tosos disagrees with that explanation of Rav Asi's shita. Tosos points out, V'kashalari tafilu ula de mefarish time of the Mishnah Rishona shami yimzgu lakos l'mishnah achrona moded time mishum simfon. Even if you hold that the svara of the Mishnah Rishona was that she might share the truma, but everyone agrees that according to the Mishnah achrona, which we're paskening like, because we said that we dafka the word the olam is dafka coming to teach us, like the Mishnah achrona holds definitely it's all about the mum, that it's all about the simfon. So it says Tosos v'nirli read the time of the Ravasi Mishum Simfon u'mishem masu sulek alamecha shumistam abad kila. Now everyone agrees it's about that he might find a mum. But once the Shluchei Abal have accepted her, we assume that he must have done his research in terms of her mum. Not direct research where he was able to check for himself, but he had relatives that went to the bathhouse when she was in the bathhouse. He asked around from what I'm sure he must have done. That's what Ravasi is saying. He must have done his research. Otherwise, his shluchim never would have accepted her in the first place. And that, not by Erisin he didn't do his research, but at least by the time his shluchim accepted her, he did his research. So that's the machlokas, whether the nesina l'shliach helps for truma as well. Eis Rufun l'Ravasi, Eis Rufun asr Ravasi, Vram l'chia bar Rav l'Ravasi, Adis Eruchia bar Rav asr Ravasi, Lol mi b'r shosavat shetikanis l'chupa. It says that she's always b'r shosav until chupa. Amalu Rav, lava minichu lo tezu basar ipcha. No, you shouldn't follow things that where our mesora is backwards. Yachu l'shnei l'chu, mesirasa zui k'nisasa l'chupa. The mesira might mean k'nisasa l'chupa. U'shmol amar li yerushasa. Shmol says that the mesira works for Yerusha. Reish Lakish amar l'ksubasa. Reish Lakish tells it works for ksuba. Ksubasa mai, what does it mean that it works for ksuba? Di mesa yarisla. What, that if she dies, the husband will yarshin her? Hainu de Shmol, that's what Shmol said, that once the Shluchei Abal take her, now the husband can yarshin her. So what's he adding when he says l'ksubasa? Amar avina lomar ksubasa me'acher mana. It means that she's now considered to have been once married, and if she ever marries someone else, now her ksuba is going to be like a ksuba salmana. She's only going to get 100, not 200. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanina Dami Tavai Mesirasa l'chal af l'truma. They both say the Mesira works for everything, even for truma. Meisivei halacha avim Shluchei Abal. O shalach l'shluchei avim Shluchei Abal. O shalach if the father goes along with the Shluchei Abal, or the father shluchim go along with the Shluchei Abal, or she has a chaser on the road and she goes there to sleep over the night, even though ksuba is in the house of her husband, but if she dies, the father is still going to yarshin her. But once she's been handed over by the father, or by a shluchim, or he owned the chatzar along the way, and she entered into that chatzar l'shem nisuin, even though the ksuba is in the base of Iyah, is in her father's house, if she dies, the husband is going to yarshin her. But all of this is as far as Yerusha goes. Giving her over to the Shluchei Abal, or the father leaving her, that helps for Yerusha. But for Truma, the woman is not entitled to the Truma until Chupa actually happens. Tiyufta de Kulu Tiyufta. So this is a Tiyufta on everybody. So, Rashi and Tosos, Tiyufta on everybody. Why is it a Tiyufta on everybody? This doesn't seem to be it doesn't seem to be a Tiyufta on Shmuel. Shmuel said the Yerushasa, that it's all about the Yerusha, that it helps with the Yerusha, but not for Truma, not for other things. So it's only a Tiyufta on those that argue on Shmuel. So that's what Rashi adds. Dekulu, Tiyufta Dekulu, Kulu doesn't really mean Kulu. It says Hanach Teplegia de Shmuel. That's what it's really arguing on. And Tosos says the same thing. Lav Dafka Dekulu, it's only Tiyufta on those that think that giving her over to the Shluchei Abal helps as far as Truma is concerned as well. So this tells us that no, it doesn't. It doesn't help as far as Truma is concerned. It only helps as far as other items such as Yerusha. But Hagufa Kasha, it seems to be a stira mineu bay. Amrit nichnasa ima lalin taima de lalin. Sounds like if she goes in to sleep over, that sounds like a stumble, a shem nisuin. But if she goes into this house without any specific kavana, we assume it's a shem nisuin. But then name a sefer, then the sefer says nichnasimo l'shem nisuin. If she goes into the house and that's the chuppah, they're going in l'shem nisuin. Hastamalalin sounds like normally she's going in just to sleep over. That's the kavana. Amravashi stami stami katani. So Ravashi says no. We're trying to describe, depending on who owns the place, what the stam is. Stam chatzir didal lalin. Stam chatzir didei l'nisuin. If it's her chatzir, we assume is stama when she goes in there to sleep. It's just to sleep over the night. But when it's his chatzir, we assume that it's being done l'shem nisuin. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with Tana tomorrow. All right.